Masechet Baba Kama Daf Ayin Dalid. We're discussing a machloket between Rava and Abaye about witnesses that come, and then they are contradicted, and after that first set of witnesses is contradicted, they are also found to be edim zomemin. Do they have to pay what they tried to make the defendant pay, or not? Abaye says no, because since their testimony was already contradicted by witnesses, let's say they said that this guy murdered, and then the second set comes and says, no, this defendant is not the murderer. So since their testimony is already contradicted, so it's thrown out, it would not have been useful. Therefore, afterwards, when Edim Mizimim, those are a third set of witnesses, come and say that the first pair were with us in a different place, then they should not, those first witnesses should not get punished. They shouldn't get capital punishment because their testimony was already rendered not usable. That is Abaye's opinion. Rava, however, says, no, they still get capital punishment because we consider the contradiction and the hazama to be all part of one process, even if it happens in two stages. At first, it shows the second set of witnesses shows that they are wrong. In fact, it was a different murderer. And the third one comes to say, not only are they contradicted and wrong, they couldn't have even been there. So that's all part of the process. And therefore, the first witnesses do get a punishment. In that example, it would be capital punishment. That is the machloket. Rava brought a proof from a baraita, which we saw only the first half of this baraita. Baraita is where, according to Rava, it's three sets of witnesses. According to Abaye, there were two sets of witnesses. According to Rava, the first set of witnesses say that a master knocked out his slave's tooth and then eye. So he goes out free because of the tooth. And then the master would have had to pay the value of the eye. But then the second set of witnesses says, is the other way around. First it was eye, so he goes free. And then he only has to pay tooth. So now the owner only has to pay the value of a tooth, right? Which, let's say the eye was 10,000, a tooth is 1,000. So now he only has to pay 1,000. And then Edim Zomin come and say that second set was actually lying. So the second set has to pay the value of an eye that the slave would have gotten, and now they tried to make him not get it, so they have to pay the value of the eye minus a tooth, $9,000, to the slave. And so you see there that it's a two-step process. Their second, the testimony of the second set of witnesses had already been contradicted by the first set, and nevertheless, they have to pay once they are also found to be zomemin. Abaye, however, said, not so fast. We can interpret that resha as talking about just two sets of witnesses. He flips the order. He says the first set of witnesses say eye and then tooth. So the master would have to just pay for the tooth. A second set of witnesses says, first of all, it's not what you said. It was actually tooth and then the eye. So the master has to pay the value of the eye. And furthermore, you were with us when on the date that you said the crime happened. You were with us somewhere else. And so you could not have even seen that. In fact, this crime happened on a different day altogether. So here we have the second set of witnesses are both the Edeh HaChasha and Edeh HaZama, and they're doing all this in one. And therefore, the first witnesses certainly have to pay because, right, their testimony would have been good if not for the second set of witnesses who said they're Edim Zomin. At the same time, they also testify that it was the other way around. But here, since it's all one step, there's no proof that if you have hachasha first and then azama, that you would, it's all part of one process. Here, for sure, it's part of one process because it's part of all the same testimony. So therefore, there's no proof. That's where we left it. Now, Abaye says, Mimai, how do I know that it's proper, better to interpret the resha of this baraita as talking about only two sets of witnesses, not three sets of witnesses? Midesefa bemepar vazama, reshana me bemepar vazama. Because of the next case, the sefa of that baraita is also best explained as talking about two sets of witnesses, where the second set of witnesses both switch the order and say that the first set of witnesses could not have been there. So let's see the second case, de katani sefa. Me'idanu et ish peloni shepil et shen abdo v'sime et ayano. Shehare ha'eved omer ken. V'nimsuzo me'min me'shalemin de me'ayin larav. This is the opposite of the case of the Resha, according to Abaye. The Resha, in the Resha, the first set of witnesses said I tooth, and the second said tooth I. In the Sefa, it's the other way around. The first set of witnesses said, first he knocked out his tooth, and then he knocked out his eye. Therefore, the owner is going to have to pay the value of an eye. But then the second set of witnesses said, no, number one, it was the other way around. It was eye and then tooth. So now the owner has to pay the value of a tooth. And furthermore, the first set of witnesses weren't even there. So in that case, the owner only has to pay a tooth, but the first set of witnesses tried to make him pay an eye. So, but that was false. So therefore, the first edim have to pay the value of an eye to the master, because that's what he would have had to pay if their testimony had been ratified. Now, let's analyze the details of the case. How so? If the second set of witnesses did not even agree that there was any injury at all, they just came and said, no, you were with us in Chicago on Monday. That's when you claimed that the crime happened on Monday. You were with us in Chicago at a bowl game on Monday, and you couldn't have been there. And they deny the whole testimony. They even deny there was any injury at all. Well, in that case, the false witnesses, the Edim Zomamin, would have to pay not more than just an eye. They would have to pay the entire value of the slave, because if not for their testimony, the slave would have remained with the owner. Because of their testimony, they said tooth and then eye, so the slave goes free and he has to pay for the eye. So once they're found Edim Zomamin and there was no injury at all, so the Edim Zomin should have to pay what they would have made the master pay, which is the loss of a slave and the loss of an eye. Yet it doesn't say that. No one ever said in any of these cases that the Edim Zomin have to pay for the value of the slave. Ela pishita dekam moduka luhu behabla. Rather, it must be the second set of witnesses agreed that there was an injury. They just say the injury happened the other way around. Udeka afchinan ve'az minhu. Rather, they flipped around the order, and they also said that those witnesses weren't there. Okay, now, so meaning, the first set of witnesses says it was tooth and then eye, and that, let's say that happened on Monday. They say the crime happened on Monday. They came and testified about it later. If that was true, the master would lose his slave and would have to pay for an eye. The second set of witnesses says, no, it was eye and then tooth. So that would agree that they would agree that the slave goes free, and we're following the second set. They are ratified, and therefore the owner, the first set of witnesses, they all agree that the slave goes free, and so the first set of witnesses did not say anything false about that. That would have happened no matter what. The only thing that changes is that the master would have had paid to pay for the eye. Now he only has to pay for the tooth. So the first set of witnesses have to pay the master for the value of the eye. Good. Now, v'hechidame, what are the details of this case? Idika ma'achare achure hane batra'e, akati deme'aive larav ba'e shalome. If the second set of witnesses said that the crime happened not on Monday, but afterwards, on Tuesday, right? They come and say, listen, you were with us in Chicago on Monday, so therefore you could not have been witness to any crime that happened in New York on Monday. So you guys are conspiring witnesses, Edim Zomin. In fact, when did the crime happen? On Tuesday, and it was the other way around. If that's the case, then the first set of witnesses actually should have to pay the full value of the slave. Why? Because when the first set of witnesses come and make the master liable, he had not been liable yet, right? In fact, the real crime did not happen until Tuesday. But on Monday, the master did nothing. As far as we knew, the master did nothing wrong. If we ratified the testimony of the first witnesses, then the master would have lost his slave and had to pay for an eye. And so, once they're found to be edim zomin, they should have to pay all the value, because on Monday, the master had been completely innocent, and according to them, would be guilty. So it can't be that the testimony of the second one is that it happened on Tuesday, because that's afterwards, and then would be irrelevant. Wouldn't get the first set of witnesses off of paying for the slave. Rather, it must be that the second set of witnesses said that the injury actually happened earlier, happened on Sunday. So as follows: the first set of witnesses said that the injury happened on Monday. The second set of witnesses said, you were with us in Chicago on Monday. You couldn't have seen anything there. But we agree that there was an injury. The injury was actually happened on Sunday. And since that is the truth, that's what ends up being ratified. So when the first set of witnesses said that it happened on Monday, it would have been found out no matter what that there is an injury that happened. So this master would have lost the slave no matter what. The only thing that the first set of witnesses did that to cause damage is they said that the eye was second, not first, thereby causing the master to wrongly have to pay for the eye instead of the tooth. So that's why the edim zomin have to pay for the eye. Okay, so now we establish that. We're just establishing exactly the parameters of the case, right? Ve'i de'la amad bedin, akate de'me kule aibed la rabbi shalom ele, dakati gabra la mechayeb. One last challenge question on Abaye's interpretation of the sefa. Hold on, when did they actually go to court, this first set of witnesses? If they had not come to court yet and brought this owner to court, then they should still have to pay the entire amount, because the crime happened on Sunday, but the first set of witnesses claimed that it happened on Monday. That's what we just established before. But let's say they didn't come to court right away. The owner was not brought to court right away by anyone that claims that it was on Sunday. Well, then if it didn't come to court yet, then the owner was still not liable. So it doesn't matter that afterwards, maybe a month later, right, the second set of witnesses will come and establish, yes, that it had in fact been on Sunday. But we're not going to know that until a month later. All we know is that when the first set of witnesses come, and let's say they come 1 week later instead of 1 month later, right? So the first set of witnesses come a week after the crime happened, and they say this owner knocked out the tooth and then the eye. So since the owner at that point was innocent, because no testimony had been brought against him, he wasn't brought to court yet. So then the first set of witnesses would have caused him to lose the slave and lose an eye. So therefore, they should have to pay the entire thing. And the fact that later, after a month, another set of witnesses came and said, no, it actually happened on Sunday, and therefore, when you testified, in fact, now we know that he would have been found guilty anyway. Yeah, but that didn't happen in court yet. So that is, we don't factor that in. A person is not liable until they're brought to court and declared, a verdict is declared to be liable. So at that point, when the first set of witnesses came, the owner was not liable, and they were found edim zomimin, so they would have had to make him pay. And so that's, we could just look at that window of time, and therefore they would have to pay. Ela damad bedin, rather has to be that, in fact, on Sunday is when the slave, the owner actually injured the slave, Sunday morning. By Sunday afternoon, already some other witnesses came on some other court and took him to court and said the owner is guilty. Okay, now put that all that on the side. So that owner had already been decided to be guilty. Then a few days later, what we call our first set of witnesses, forget the other one that was in a different court, our first set of witnesses come and say it was the tooth and then the eye, and he has to pay an eye. Well, in fact, the owner was already found guilty and would have lost his slave. The only thing now is that since this first set of witnesses, it was tooth and an eye, which we didn't know before, they would have made him pay for an eye. That's the consequences of the first testimony when they are found. The first witnesses are found to be edim zomimin, and we say no, it was in fact eye, then tooth. Now we see that what they said was false, and therefore they have to pay for the eye. They don't have to pay for the whole the slave going free, because that had already been established and already a verdict was given for that. Good. All right. All that was explaining Abaye on the Sefa. So where are we so far? We had Rava's opinion that says that you can have a two-step process, hachasha and then hazama, and nevertheless, the edim zomimin have to pay, even though their testimony was contradicted, because it's the first step towards hazama. That was Rava. He brought a proof from the Resha of the Braita, and according to him, there are three sets of witnesses. Good. The third set of witnesses says the second set were edim zomimin. Even though they were already contradicted, they still have to pay. Abaye says, no, that Esha is actually only two sets of witnesses, so therefore there is no two-step process of Hachasha and Hazama. And Abaye brought a proof from the Sefa, where we just finished explaining. That also is, there are only two sets of witnesses, and that explains the Sefa, and therefore the Esha must be the same case where the second set of witnesses switches the order and is also the Ede Hazama, but there's no two steps of Hachasha and Hazama, and therefore Abaye says there is no proof for Rava's opinion from here. Okay, now to try to save the day for Rava, Amar le Rav Acha bered Rav Ika le Rav Ashe, Tiukad Rava mehacha, Ilem amerecha resha, Mika mit kacheshe mesi'ae. So Rav Acha, the son of Ika, tells Rav Ashe, do you think Rava's proof is from this Baraita, in the first case of the Baraita that we just saw? If you say it's from the resha of the Baraita, which is what we said in the name of Rava beforehand, well, then that's not really a good example of hachasha. Why not? Because kevan di la mitazemi sahaduta kevatayu ka kaime didina kevatayu ma paskinan diyesh bichlal matayim mane. If you want to know a classic example of hachasha, it would be one set of witnesses say this guy's a murderer, the second one says he's not a murderer. One guy says there was an injury, and the second set there is not an injury. Then they are completely contradicting each other. They can't both be right. But in Rava's interpretation of the first case, what was that? The first set of witnesses say it was a tooth and then the eye, which would make the owner pay $10,000. The second set of witnesses says no, it was eye and then the tooth, and therefore the owner only has to pay $1,000. If we stop right there, we see that they agree on the $1,000. So if there was no edim zomimin, that's what this line is, right? No edim zomimin come at all. So the verdict would have been like the second set of witnesses, because, well, we can't make him pay 10,000 because the other one says only 1,000. But they both agree that he has to pay at least 1,000, because, right, there is within a 200, there is 100. Within 10,000, there is 1,000. Now that the second set of set become edim zomimin, so we kick them out. And in fact, it was not eye-tooth, it was tooth-eye. And so now you have to pay more. But there, the second testimony, the consequence of it was never rejected, because instead of paying 1,000, he has to pay 10,000. But he still, no matter what, would have had to pay 1,000. So this is not a contradiction, but rather it's contradicting part of it, right? In other words, if it's tooth, it's certainly not an eye. If it's only 1,000, it's not 10,000. But if it is 10,000, then that is agreeing that there is liability of at least 1,000. Hilkach kamehu dekamit kachashe misi'ae la mit kachashe midi. So in fact, the way it works is that the first testimony, right, again, before the edim zomimin come, the first witnesses say tooth and then eye, And then, so we have to pay 10,000. The second said, when this is no, it was the tooth second. And so the first testimony is contradicted, right? Because they said you have to pay 10,000. And that second said, no, you don't have to pay the 10,000. So yes, that would be an example of contradiction. But the one that we're focusing is on the second one. The second set of witnesses that say, no, it was eye tooth. They're not contradicting the first because they say it's the first is not contradicting the second because they're agreeing. Yes, I see your 1,000 and I raise it 9,000. But they are the first set of witnesses is actually in agreement with the second set regarding the whole testimony of the second set, which is altogether 1,000. Therefore, the question to Rav Asher is. This is not even a case of Edeh HaChasha. The second set of witnesses are not fully contradictory of the first. Therefore, you can't bring any proof from here about the Rava's general rule that you can have Hazama after HaChasha. Amar le Rava Savar midirasha b'shalosh kitot sefa nama b'shalosh v'dayek misefa. So Rav Asher answers to Ravacha, you're right. The Resha is not where he brought the proof from. Rava only quoted the Resha to show that the Resha is talking about three sets of witnesses. And therefore, it makes sense that the Sefa is also talking about three sets of witnesses, and his proof is actually from the Sefa. Okay, so we already saw how the Sefa is understood according to Abaye. Now we'll understand according to Rava. This sugya has a nice chiastic structure. It explains the Resha according to Rava, Resha according to Abaye, then Sefa according to Abaye, and now we have the Sefa according to Rava.
כגון דעתו בית רב אמרי הפיל את שינו וסימא עינו ופסקינה לדינה אפומי הוא די סיפה, according to Rava, is where one set of witnesses comes and says, first he knocked out the tooth and then knocked out the eye, and this went to court, and they made a verdict based on that, so therefore the master has to pay for the value of the eye, since the slave also went free from the previous knocking out of the tooth. ועתו בית רב אחרינה ואמרה, סימא את עינו ופיל את שינו, דקמא חשי להו להנה קמאה, ונמסו זוממין קמאה משלמין דמא עין לרב. And then the second set of witnesses came and said, no, it was the other way around. First it was the eye, so he goes free, and then he knocked out his tooth, and therefore the owner only has to pay for the value of the tooth. So this is a full contradiction of the first one, right? Unlike the question above, here, the first set is completely contradicted, and there the first set is going to be the ones that are found in Dim Zomin. So now this solves the problem. The first set of witnesses who first said I, when the second set of witnesses says no, it was only tooth, so their testimony, 10,000? What are you talking about? It's not 10,000, it's only 1,000. So they are fully contradicted. And then the first set of witnesses are found to be Edim Zomemin. What do we say? They have to pay the value of the eye to the master because according to their testimony, the master would have had to pay for the eye. Turns out they were wrong and they weren't even there. So therefore they have to pay the master what the master would have paid, which is for the eye. And so this is a proof for Rava. Why? Ve'i sakadatech hasha lav techilat hazamahi amay mashalemeh ha'it kachashu lehu me'ikara elo shmamina hasha techilat hazamahi. If you think that being contradicted is not the beginning of a process of hazamah, but already knocks out the first testimony, and so now it's useless, then why would the first witnesses have to pay after they become edim zomemin, since their testimony was already contradicted by the second set of witnesses? Rather, what you see here is that the hachasha of the second set is only first step to the full hazama of the third set of witnesses, and that's why they have to pay. All right, so good. Now we understand that Rava's proof is actually from the Sefa. Abaye Malach, Abaye, what are you gonna do with this proof from the Sefa? Bishlama Resha na lasagi de la shelosh kitot sherek katani harav omerken. Abaye says, you know what? Looking back at the first at the Resha, which is now not a proof for Rava anyway. The truth is, Rava, Abaye says, I had a hard time explaining the Resha in my interpretation of two sets of witnesses. And I agree, you know what? It's impossible to explain the Resha without saying that there are in fact three sets of witnesses. Why? Because in the Resha it says, the master says so. The master likes the second set of witnesses. It's good for him. And now, in the according to Rava's interpretation, that makes sense. Where in the Resha, the first set of witnesses says that the master has to pay an eye, and then the second set of witnesses come and say, no, you only have to pay a tooth. The master says, oh, good. I'm going to lose my slave anyway, but at least I don't have to pay 10,000 for his eye. I could pay only 1,000 for a tooth. So that makes sense according to Rava's interpretation. Abaye switched the order and said the first set of witnesses I tooth, the second set said tooth I, and that makes no sense why the master would say, yeah, I like the second set. The second set is making him pay more. And so Abaye says, I had a hard time with the first one anyway, saying it's two sets of witnesses. Fine, I'll give that to Rava. But Rava has no proof for Rava's opinion anyway, because in the Resha, they're not fully contradictory. Ela sefa lama li shelosh kitot sharei ayved omer ken ayved kodu memad amar denichale denepok lecherut. But for the sefa, I don't need three sets of witnesses, because in the sefa it says that the slave will be happy with the second set of witnesses, but the slave is always happy. He's just happy to go free. So in the sefa, which Abaye interpreted to mean tooth eye and then eye tooth, actually Abaye and Rava agree that is the interpretation. So when the second set of witnesses say it was eye and then tooth, and then says, and the slave is happy with that. Well, technically he shouldn't be happy, because he would have gotten the eye, and now he's only getting a tooth. But nevertheless, a slave is always happy. He's thrilled that he's getting his freedom. And so I can explain the sefa just fine, that it's only two sets of witnesses, and therefore I don't need Rava's interpretation of the sefa. It's not a necessary interpretation to say that there are three sets of witnesses. It's fine with only two. And if there's only two sets of witnesses, then there is no proof for Rava. Okay, that concludes those two interpretations. We have now just a different question altogether. Matkif la Rabbi Zera, ema sime et ayeno nipok be'ayeno, hipil et shino nipok be'shino, sime et ayeno vehipil et shino nipok be'ayeno ve'shino. This is the challenge just on the basic assumption of the Baraita, that the owner would have to let the slave free and also pay for something, right? Why don't we say that in a case where the master blinded his slave, then he goes free because of the eye. And if he just knocked out his tooth, he would go free because of the tooth. And why not say that if the master did both, knocked out his eye and his tooth, then he goes out because of the eye and the tooth. And that's all the Torah wanted to teach, is that one injury or both injuries, The only verdict is that he loses his slave, but not that he would have to pay more in addition after he goes free. So therefore, this baraita, the whole thing, we would not be correct. Why don't we say that? Now, Rabbi Alecha Amar Keda Tachat Aino Velo Tachet Eno Vishino Tachet Shino Velo Tachet Shino VeAino. Rabbi says, for you, to make sure that you don't think that, that's exactly why the Torah uses lots of extra words and says Tachat Aino, he goes free because of his eye, and only because of his eye he would go free, and you don't need both. And it also says tachat shino, just for his tooth he goes free, and you don't need the tooth and the eye to go free. Either one is sufficient. Since either one is sufficient, then the second injury the master has to pay for as he would for an injury to a free person. So now we're going to try to bring a proof for Rava, not from that baraita, but from our own Mishnah that we're talking about, right? Let's bring a proof closer to home. Ganav al pi shenayim v'tabachu machal al pihem nimsuzu amin v'shalamin lo et hakol. Remember the Mishnah said that if someone stole based on two witnesses say that this thief stole an ox, the same two witnesses say that he also slaughtered or sold it, and it turns out that those witnesses were not there at all, Nedim Zomamin, they have to pay five times for an ox. Now, what are the details of the case? Is it not that first they testified that he stole it? Then they came back and testified that he also slaughtered it. And then they became a Edim Zomin on the Geneva, which could have happened on a different day. And so a second set of witnesses says, oh, they were with us in Chicago at the time of the theft. And then later, another set of witnesses came and said, no, they were also with us in California at the time of the slaughter. And so that they could not have seen that either. If that's the case, that's in that order. Once the first set of Edim Mizimim come and say that they could not have testified about the theft. Well, if there's no theft, then the tibicha also is not a crime. So undermining them regarding the theft is also contradicting the testimony about the about the slaughtering. V'katani mishalimin lo atakol, and yet they pay all of it. Why would they have to pay five times if that second testimony about the slaughter was actually, now we know, was nonsense? Now, if you think that contradiction is not the beginning of the hazamah process, then why would they have to pay all five? Rather, this is the proof of Ravi Di Baravin. It must be that Hachasha is the beginning of the process. So that, let's review the order of operations here. These two witnesses testified first about the stealing. And then the next day they testified that this guy, the same thief, also slaughtered it. Then they become, Edim Zomim come and say, they were not there, they did not see the theft. So they're going to have to pay two for that, just on that, because they tried to say that this guy's a thief and is really not a thief. They have to pay that. Now, this also contradicts the testimony about the slaughter, because if they didn't steal it first, then what crime is there in the slaughter? So that's contradictory. And then after that, the witnesses, the Edim Mizimim, come and say they could not have seen the theft either. Oh, even though the crime of theft was already contradicted, their testimony was already contradicted, now the fact that they couldn't have even been there at all, that explains why they should pay an additional three, because the contradiction was just the first step towards the hazama, and so they still have to pay it, even though their testimony had already been contradicted, already been undermined at the first stage. And there you go. So this is a proof for Rava from our Mishnah. But we reject it. We don't know the details of the case. We can't assume that it has to be in that order. If it was in that order, you're right, that would be a good proof. But it could very well be that we're talking about that a case where the Edim Mizimim first come and say, talk about the testimony of slaughter. It says, you could not have seen the slaughter happen because you were with us somewhere else on that day. And so then they would have to pay, the Edim Zomim would have to pay three times, the extra three that they added from the fact that he's a thief. And afterwards, they come back and say, oh, you know what? Those Edim, first Edim, also could not have seen the theft, and then they would have to pay an additional two. So there, the first testimony was not contradicted. Only the second one was contradicted. They were found to be Edim Zomin. So for sure, they have to pay for the second one, the second testimony. That's three, and then that left the first testimony alone that was not contradicted at all. And so then they come and are found to be Edim Zomin for the first one. That's why they have to pay all five. But you can't bring a proof for Rava from the Mishnah. Ubeplugta Edim de Shuchushul Basofu Zimu, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Elazar, Hadama Neragin v'Hadama Neheragin. So we completed the proofs. We saw Rava tried to bring a proof from a Braita, and we tried to bring one from a Mishnah also. They're not necessary proofs. It's possible to interpret them otherwise. And now we're going to say that this machloket between Rava and Abaye both sages from Bavel, is parallel to a machloket between two earlier Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. They talk about a case where the witnesses come and say, this guy's a murderer. And in the end, they are contradicted. And then after that, they're also found to be edim zomemin. So since they were contradicted first, maybe they should not be killed. And that's the opinion of one of them. We don't know which one is which, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So one of them says he's not killed since they were already contradicted. Once those first witnesses are contradicted, so we're not going to give the defendant capital punishment, and therefore, since their testimony already was thrown out, so the edim zomemin, when they become edim zomemin, it doesn't change anything, so they don't get capital punishment. But the other opinion says they are killed. Why? It must be because the hachasha, the contradiction, is just the first step in finding that not only were is their testimony contradicted, but they weren't even there, so we put that all together, and we therefore give those witnesses capital punishment. All right, so now that's good. We accept that. We do want to figure out which one is which. He's tamed to be Elazar. Who damad en eragin damad be Elazar edim shechu benefesh lo kin. It must be that to be Elazar. He's the one that agrees with Abaye. And he says that the witnesses are not killed because they were already contradicted. So the fact that it become zomamin doesn't change anything. And how do we know? Because Rabbi Elazar says that witnesses that are contradicted in a capital case, they get lashes. They only get lashes. Now, v'isakadatech Rabbi Elazar hud amar neheragin amaylokin havale lav shenitan lazarat mitat betin v'chol lav shenitan lazarat betin mitat betin en lokin alav. So we're talking about the pasuk that says, don't be a false witness against your neighbor. This is a lav. And now, according to Rabbi Elazar, if you think Rabbi Elazar would say that yes, they get capital punishment, then why should they get lashes? It should be one or the other. Either get capital punishment or lashes. If he would say that you get capital punishment, then this prohibition, this pasuk of don't be a false witness, is a warning regarding a capital punishment, right? Don't be a false witness, because if you're found guilty, you could get capital punishment for it, for being an edzomem. But there's a general rule. Any lav that is a warning that could lead, if not heeded, to death by a court, you don't get lashes for it, right? This lav is meant there for a warning, to protect from, to warn people against capital punishment. And so that's what it's for. It's not for Malkut. So if he says that one gets lashes for this, it must be he does not think that it leads to capital punishment. Why not? Because if it's once it's contradicted, once the testimony is contradicted, then the original witnesses will not get capital punishment, even if they are found to be edim zomim after. So it must be Rabbi Elazar thinks that they do not get capital punishment. He's one of the things that they don't get killed. And why not? Because since they were contradicted first, so that's it. We already threw out their testimony, and we don't say that's the first step towards edim zomemin. Last question: Lokin tereu terenin hu my chazita samacht ahane semoch ahane. How would you ever give them lashes when you have two against two? Right. So two witnesses said this guy is a murderer. A second two witnesses come and say no, he's not a murderer. And you're going to give the first guy the first set lashes? Well, how do you know? It's just two against two. How do you know the second one is the second one are right and the first ones are lying, that they should get lashes? Maybe the other way around. I mean, I understand you're not going to kill the guy, give him capital punishment, because it's up in the air. But why? Who says that the second one is right? Amar Abaye beba harug beraglav. Abaye says we're talking about a case here where the alleged murdered victim walks into court. So he was never murdered. So the first set comes and says, right, Mr. A killed Mr. B. All right. Well, the second set says, no, Mr. A didn't do it. But then Mr. B comes in. He was never killed. So obviously, Mr. A is never murdered anyone. In that case, that we know for sure. So there is a difference between testimony, even though the testimony of two witnesses is like 100, and we're so sure that we could get capital punishment against it. And nevertheless, the actual facts of the guy walking in will override even two witnesses, and we know then for sure that they had been lying. That brings us to the next Mishnah, Ganav al pi shenayim v'tabach machal al pi ayd echad o al pi asmo. Mishalem tashumei kefel o ve'eno mishalem tashumei arba'a v'chamisha. These are cases are contrasting with the previous Mishnah. If someone, two witnesses come and testify that this guy is a thief, and he stole an ox. But then, regarding the slaughter or the selling, that was not based on two witnesses, but rather only one witness comes and says, I saw the guy slaughter it. Or maybe the thief himself comes and admits, yes, I slaughtered it, or I sold it. In that case, the thief has to pay double, because that's for the original theft, which is based on two witnesses, but he does not have to pay the 4 and 5, meaning the additional 2 or 3, because either it's based on one witness, and one witness is not a sufficient testimony to make anyone pay, and if he admits it, this is a knas, right? The kefel, the double, is a knas, and the 4 and 5 is a knas. Anything above the principal is a fine, and the law is that one only pays a fine if it's proven by outside witnesses that he has to pay. If someone admits, then he does not pay a fine. Ganav tavach b'Shabbat, ganav tavach la'avod azara, ganav mishel aviv umet aviv v'achar kach tavach machar, ganav v'gdish v'achar kach tavach machar. Mishlem tashlome kefil v'eno mishalem tashlome arba v'chamisha. In these cases also, the thief pays double and not 4 and 5. If he stole and then he slaughtered it on Shabbat, so he's liable to capital punishment for violating Shabbat, and therefore does not have to pay the 4 and 5. If he stole and slaughtered it for Avodah Zarah, also gets capital punishment. He doesn't have to pay the extra fine. If he stole from his father, and then his father died, and after his father died, then he slaughtered or sold it. So he has to pay kefel because he stole that when his father was alive, and therefore owes that to the father. But after the father dies, then the son has partial ownership. He inherits. Maybe he's the only kid, or maybe there are other boys also that he shares it with. But since he's a partial owner in the animal, so he does not have to pay for slaughtering it. Since part of the payment will go back to himself. Ganav v'hikdish, if he steals it and then he makes it hikdesh. So since he stole it, regular, he has to pay double. But then, once he makes it consecrated, anything he does after that, tavach machar, it does not, the fine does not apply to a consecrated thing, only if it's owned by the original owner. And so that's why in all these cases pays double, but not 4 and 5. Rabbi Shimon omed kodashim, shechaya b'achariutam, mishlem tashlomei arba'a v'chamisha, shein chaya b'achariutam, patur. Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between sanctified animals, where the owner is liable for responsibility to replace them should they get lost or stolen. So if the owner said, I take upon myself to bring an ola, and then he designates this particular animal, if it gets lost, he has to bring another one. And therefore, this thief slaughtering it causes a loss to the owner. So in that case, he has to pay 4 and 5. But if it's an animal where the owner is not responsible, if he says, Hare zo ola, he says, this particular sheep I am bringing as an ola. So since he only donated this particular one, if something happens to it, he's not responsible to bring a different one. Therefore, the owner would not lose out by it being slaughtered. And therefore, this thief does not have to pay 4 and 5 for slaughtering it. We'll explain this further. Al pi ayed echad pishita on the resha. Isn't this obvious that if only one witness comes to testify about the slaughtering, that he doesn't have to pay the 4 and 5, he only has to pay double? The double had two witnesses. Obviously, one witness is not going to make him pay. Amrei hakamash ma'lan al pi asmo dumiyad al pi ayed echad. Ma al pi ayed echad ki ate ayed echad mistaref ba'adem mechayev. Al pi asmo name ki atu adim mechayev. It's coming to teach us by comparing the two laws that it mentioned, that if he testifies himself that, yes, I slaughtered it after stealing, is similar to one witness coming. Just like when one witness comes, although we do not make him pay the 4 and 5 based on one witness, if a second witness should come afterwards, then we can join them together to make 2 witnesses, and then he would have to pay. So too, if the thief testifies, I slaughtered it, we're not going to make him pay. But if 2 witnesses come afterwards, we don't say that, oh, well, since you admitted to it, that's it. Now you're off the hook forever. You're off the hook for now. But if 2 witnesses come, and then we would have known anyway, independent of your admission, that you are guilty, so then those 2 witnesses later will make him pay the 4 and 5. So that's what we learned from these, that extra law. This is against the opinion of Rav, who said that once someone admits to a fine, that's it, they don't have to pay. And even if witnesses come after, that doesn't change the fact he admitted to it. So that's it. He's off the hook. So which means if you're going to admit to something, you better admit to it as quickly as possible before witnesses should come. Because then once witnesses come, if witnesses come first, then you have to pay. But as long as you admit first, then you never have to pay the fine. We'll analyze this statement more on the next stuff. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen v'amen.